Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Voice of Truth is very pleased to bring you another installment of A Creation Seminar by Steve Grohman. Previously on the program, we've already played a portion of this series. Steve presents his seminar live hundreds of times each year in churches, public schools, private schools, and at a variety of other special functions. And via radio and television interviews, his voice has been heard internationally addressing this crucial topic. You can visit Steve's website at www.creationseminar.net. Again, that's www.creationseminar.net. We encourage pastors, teachers, school principals, school superintendents, and any others interested in helping children learn the truth about creation and helping people to uncover the lies and deception of the religious movement known as evolution to email Steve at creation@creationseminar.net. Again, that email address is creation@creationseminar.net. What you're about to hear was recorded live in a church setting. The voice is that of Steve Grohman. He's spent the last 14 plus years on the road full time, traveling with his wife Dana and now with their son Paul as well, teaching about the crucial topic of creation versus evolution. As mentioned, this is a continuation of a prior portion of the series, so we'll be picking up with Steve in mid-sentence, so to speak, but you'll quickly catch on to what is being said. Let's roll the tape.
Hey, think about this. It's 102 outside. You're running, playing a frisbee, throwing a football, you're mowing the yard, just jogging, just out there. Yeah, it's 102. It's hot. You go up and grab a hold of a tree limb that you can reach. It's in 102 also. And you grab that tree limb is cool. You break that tree limb off and you put it on the ground, you go feel that tree limb 2 minutes later. Same limb is now warm. What happened? The only thing that changed is you just removed the life from that limb. Folks, once the life is removed from anything, the decay process immediately kicks in. That stuff is, everybody in this room has seen a tree limb out in the woods out there somewhere in the field. It is not going to lay there for millions and millions of years and slowly turn to stone. The more time that goes by, the more it rots away, or other things eat it away. Same with a dead animal on the side of the road out in the field. The more time that goes by, the more it's gone. Time is not a friend to any of the evolutionary processes that they want to claim, stake claim on. It's not true. The more time that goes by, the more the item is rotted away. It's not going to hang around for millions of years. If it's going to happen, it has to be quickly, or it won't happen at all. These two pieces are in the museum out there. These two pieces are down in this tray down here. Leaves turned to stone. Not just imprints of leaves, but in fact that one on the back side, three distinct levels of leaves. It's actually full of them all the way through, but leaves turned to stone. Well, wait a minute. We have a little camp up in northern New Hampshire, and people come from all over the place to see the pretty leaves turn color. And after they turn to pretty colors, they get kind of brown, and they go to the ground, and they lay there for millions of years and slowly turn to stone. Right? No. You know what, folks? By the time next year's leaves fall off, last year's are pretty well worked back in the soil. They don't lay around for millions of years. Anybody that ever knows anything has seen leaves fall off trees all over the country. They know they don't lay around for millions of years. It has to be done quickly, or it's not going to be done at all. Everything like that. We'll get into the mechanism and such on Wednesday night. Awesome stuff with how the Bible explains this. But I mean, blueberry flower fossils and insects. We have some insect fossils. We have some feathers and figs. Now, fig is not going to fall out of a fig tree and lay there for millions of years and turn to stone. It doesn't work that way. But we have walnuts and beetles and worms and very delicate items. Absolutely verifying it is a rapid thing. This was big news the other day. Science News, March 2005, talking about how they found an unfossilized section of a T-Rex leg bone with red blood cells inside the blood vessels. In fact, this thing, when they first found this thing, this was back when the O.J. Simpson deal was going on. Now, this is so funny. This was back several years ago when the O.J. Simpson issue was happening, and we were watching the ABC Nightly News, I guess it was at the time, something, back several years ago. Anyway, Peter Jennings was lying to us that night. But anyway, we're watching this news, right? The first article was they had this, it was when Mark Furman, the cop that had O.J.'s blood in a vial in his sport coat pocket for 7 hours, they said, that stuff's not any good because that's been in his sport coat for 7 hours. We can't trust that DNA in there. And now, wait a minute, you can go from in your body, blood, through a sterile needle, into a sterile tube, into a sport coat pocket to protect it from the sun for 7 hours. And they say that's no good anymore. The very next article was this one where they said, whoa, we just found blood vessels with good DNA in them in a T-Rex bone, 65 million years old. And I looked at my wife, I said, do you think anybody caught this? It was incredible. I mean, it's amazing. Folks, you know, a lot of times they dig through, they cut through bones turned to stone with rock saws, and they smell like burning flesh, burning bone. They're not even turned to stone. They're very young. They're not millions of years old. How about this stuff? We have it down in the tray, and there's a bunch out there in the museum, but it's poo-poo turned to stone. Dookie turned to stone. Now, come on. I know you have dogs, or you used to have a dog. Your dog does this stuff in the backyard. Okay, it's gross, fine, but look, it's turned to stone. Come on, does your dog stuff lay out there for millions of years and turn to stone? It doesn't work that way, folks. It rots away. It doesn't matter what the issue is. It doesn't matter how small, how microscopic, how massive. Rapid burial, rapid change is the only thing that can happen there, or it's not going to happen. The more time that goes on, the more the thing is going to rot away, not any other. You know, we have this turtle egg out there in the museum. It's been CAT scanned. The little turtle embryo is still in there. Now, come on. Is an egg going to lay out there for millions of years and turn to stone? When you get home tonight, take a dozen eggs and go stick them in your front yard and check on them every day. Watch them turn to stone over time. Folks, they're not. The dog's going to get them. The bugs are going to get them. The heat's going to get them. The cold's going to get them. The lawnmower's going to get them. Something's going to happen. They're not going to lay there for millions of years. It doesn't work that way. But yet eggs are found all over this world, turned to stone. Many examples of this stuff. Folks, it rots away quickly. It has to be done quickly. This is funny. I happen to pick geology here, but every science publication ran this article. This is really something. Let me read a little bit of this. Well, let me just read it here. It says, more than a half billion years ago, that's 500 million years ago, thousands of jellyfish were washed up in a small lagoon. All right, where was this lagoon? It was in Wisconsin. Okay, wait a minute. 500 million years ago, there's a lagoon in Wisconsin that thousands of jellyfish wash up in, and some of those fossilized jellyfish are 3 feet in diameter. Big, thousands of 3-foot jellyfish. The preservation of a soft-bodied organism is incredibly rare. Jellyfish have no durable body parts. That's true. There's not much to a jellyfish. They have no bone, no blood, no brain, no heart. There's not a lot to a jellyfish. Anybody that's ever seen a jellyfish wash up on a beach somewhere, you know full well the thing doesn't lay around for millions of years. It doesn't lay around for 2 days, much less any other time. Now check this out. Look what it says. They found some of these fossilized jellyfish in 7 layers in the quarry, encased in about 12 vertical feet of rock, representing a span of time of up to 1 million years. Time out. Are these dumb jellyfish or what? Thousands of 3-foot jellyfish wash up in a small lagoon in Wisconsin 500 million years ago, and they're locked through 12 layers of strata, through 7 layers of strata, 12 vertical feet of rock strata, 7 layers. Folks, that's not possible. A jellyfish isn't gonna lay around for 1 or 2 days, much less not long enough to be locked through 7 layers of strata through 12 vertical feet of rock. That's not possible. And they even talk about how some of the delicate ripple marks are even preserved. Folks, that's another thing. Ripple marks are even found preserved, turned to stone. Well, look, you can go to any beach and see this kind of stuff, and it doesn't happen today. As a matter of fact, footprints are found all over the world. That doesn't happen today, turned to stone. But they're not done that way today. Folks, there's no way that any of that stuff can happen the way that they claim it. Noah's flood is what did all this stuff. We'll get to the mechanism on Wednesday night, but folks, the Bible has the mechanism. The Bible has the answer as to why those finds are the way they're found. You're going to be amazed at what the Bible actually says about this stuff. But anyway, let's check this out. Look at this. How about this bird right here? Here's another thing that this guy just defies evolution. I mean, just, this is amazing. Most birds are flying along and they want to stop, so they get on top of something like a tree limb or rooftop or wire, but not a woodpecker. This guy says, no way, everybody stands on top. I'm going to stand on the side of the tree, you know. So he attaches to the side of the tree. You know, most birds, their claw configuration is they have 3 in the front and 1 in the back, but not a woodpecker. This guy has 2 and 2. He's got a totally unique set of claws. This guy's got these little short legs and these powerful claws. He attaches himself to the tree. Every variety of woodpecker, notice, their tail will be anchored to the tree. They use their tail to help stabilize themselves in place there. Now this guy's got this really strong, broad, powerful claws and anchored to this tree. He's standing on the side of the tree here. And he's looking around. He says, you know, as long as nobody's watching, as long as I'm standing here anyway, I think I'll see what it feels like to slam my face into the tree. Pow! So he does. Ooh, it must have hurt quite a bit, especially right at first, you know. This guy slams his face into the tree. Some varieties do it as much as 1,000 times per minute. All varieties do it hundreds and hundreds of times per minute. This guy is slamming his face into the tree hundreds and hundreds of times a minute. Now think about it, folks. The impact this guy strikes that tree with, each impact is the equivalent of 6 G's. This guy is pulling 6 times gravity on his face 1,000 times a minute. Most airplanes are not even designed to handle 6 G's. The wings will fall off, positive or negative G's, they can't handle it. They'll fall apart. This guy is smacking away 1,000 times a minute at 6 G's. Now, most birds, now think of a dove, a duck, a quail, a goose, a turkey, a chicken, a whatever. They have long, wimpy necks. Not a woodpecker. He's got a very thick, very short, very muscular neck. This guy's designed to do what he does. He has this big jackhammer hanging out here on the front of his face. He's got this really thick skull right here. This guy's designed to do what he does. It's amazing. Now, if you ever chop wood, you know, you have a log there and you're gonna chop it up with an axe. The worst thing you can do is go straight into it. It gets stuck. You know, you gotta pull it up and you get stuck. If you wanna chop that thing as efficiently as possible, the best thing to do is come at an angle and then come back up at another angle. And then come at another angle and another angle. Come back and forth like that and you'll knock big chunks out of the thing. Wedges will come flying out and you'll cut through quicker and more efficiently. You film a woodpecker and watch it in slow motion. This guy, he's doing that very thing. He's coming at it at different angles like that. Every time this guy, he's coming back, he's looking for the target he needs to hit. When he hits that tree, he closes his eyes so they don't pop out. This guy is slamming along at 6 G's 1,000 times a minute for a lifetime. Folks, what would that do to your brain? Well, you'll make Jell-O, tapioca pudding out of the thing, you know? I mean, but you know what, folks? There is no problem too big for God to solve. You know, when God made these guys, he gave these guys a spongy tissue shock absorber to sit in between his beak and his skull to absorb that impact. This guy has a shock absorption system. Now think about this now. What is he drilling the hole for? The bugs, that's right. He wants the bugs that are in the tree. Now the bugs aren't dumb. The bugs, they've got grandmas and grandpas too. They've been around a while, you know. Just imagine the scenario. Here comes Woody. And Grandma Bug says, listen here, son, you hear that? Yes, Grandma. That's Woody. Oh, no. Yeah, he's after us. We got to go. Okay, Grandma. Well, finally, Woody gets the hole done. He looks in there and he says, where'd they go? He just chased off the very thing he's drilling the hole to get. Not a problem. He's got to get them back. He has a sweet sticky substance he puts on the end of his tongue. It's sort of like those mouse trap things, you know, they're walking along and he gets stuck. He's got this glue he puts on there and the bugs love it. So they come up and they get stuck. If you ever go fishing, you ever notice how when you go fishing, the fish hook has a little barb on it and the theory is it'll go in and won't come out and it never works. It always falls off when you get this record keeper, you know. But you catch these little old things, and usually it works so well you have to clip it off and take pliers and pull it through, you know? It never lets go of the little guys. It's the big ones that always falls off. But anyway, but the woodpecker has 3 of these little hook barbs on the end of his tongue, and between the 3 little hooks and the glue, when the bugs go up and get on there, he pulls them in, he gets the meal after all. Folks, this guy is designed to do what he does. Absolutely amazing. One of the most amazing things about a woodpecker, though, he's got a really long tongue. In fact, it's so long it doesn't fit in his mouth. So what does he do with his tongue when he's not using it? Well, he takes the thing and he wraps it around his skull and inserts the tip into his right nostril for storage. I wonder what the woodpecker did with his tongue before he decided to wrap it around his head and put it in his nose. It's hanging out about 8 or 9 inches. You know, he's flying along. He gets too close to a tree limb. Help! Yeah, the woodpecker evolved. Yeah, right. No way. Folks, this guy's designed to do what he does. He does it just fine. You know, we were out at Tucson. We were out at Saguaro National Forest. Not a tree in sight. That's pretty funny. But they have cactus, and they've got woodpeckers. There's no tree, so they just hammer away on the cactus. You know, folks, this is another thing. The extreme left end again. They've gotten a hold of this stuff. I mean, come on. My parents live outside of San Antonio. And a little west of where they are, there is a golden-cheeked warbler, this bird that lives out there in the cedar tree. You buy land, you can't cut a cedar tree down because the golden-cheeked warbler lives there and that's his habitat. Of course that's his habitat. That's the only tree that's out there. You know, of course he's going to live in this. But folks, even if you have a lot of trees, you look up in the eaves of the church and around the sign, around stuff, you'll find bird nests up there with a bunch of trees around. They're going to find a place to nest. I mean, that's just ridiculous. In fact, my parents have this on the back patio thing, porch there, they have this little table chair set up, and it's turned into a junk collector spot. But anyway, Mom has this little towel over these little seed starter kits. You know, your little seeds, you put them in here, and once they get growing, then you put them in the garden, you know? Well, anyway, she went out there one day and pulled that towel back, and underneath that towel is a bird nest with little baby birds in it. Cheep, 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 looking to be fed. We were doing a, remember this footprint rock I talked about last night in Ohio-Indiana state line in the Ohio side? We had a homeschool meeting. We have a homeschool meeting tomorrow. You don't have to be a homeschooler. Come on out, 1 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 1 o'clock. We'll go for about an hour and a half or so. We'll have a good time with the kiddos. But anyway, we had a homeschool meeting at a church we were doing a seminar at. And after the meeting was done, we all went caravanned over. We took a field trip out to this footprint rock. And where this footprint rock is in a, it's in an abandoned gas station area. And you can see trees all over the place. And one of the girls heard something. We all walk over there and we pull this cover off this old abandoned gas pump. And Mama Bird decided to nest in the gas pump. A bunch of little babies there. Cheep, 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 cheep. Trees all over the place. Mama puts a babies in a gas pump. You know, they're going to find a place to live. Now, I'm not saying we should go destroy all the forests, you know. It's like, you know, when I talk about getting involved in kids' lives, I'm not talking about being vigilantes. That's not what I'm saying. We just need to be vigilant. We need to be on guard. We need to pay attention. Folks, the devil is a roaring lion, and he is walking about. But the point is still the same. It's we need a balance, of course, but they're not going to. You cut down all the trees. I'm not saying we should cut down all the trees, but look, they're going to find a place to nest is the point. We're not going to destroy all the birds by cutting down a tree. In fact, we were out at the Everglades, and 1.2 million acres of stuff, trees everywhere, 1.2 million acres. You know where Mama Bird decides to nest? In the antenna mast. They're going to find a place to go, okay? You know, it's just, they've gone nuts with this stuff. But anyway, how about one more of these guys? This guy right here, he's ugly is what he is. Now, the camel, now think about these camels, folks. These guys are awesome. These camels, notice their nose. They have a special nostril. They can close them down. This guy can squish down his nose. He can walk headlong into a sandstorm, and he doesn't get sand blown up his nose so he can breathe. Not only that, he's got these big, long eyelashes, big, bulging eyebrow ridges that come out, and they serve a couple of different purposes. Have you ever noticed you're driving your car in a west-setting sun, you know, and you pull the sun visor down because that sun's beaming in, and you're driving along, and you find yourself crouched up as high as you can be, and then you just give up and drive like this, you know? If you had a ball cap, you could put it on and put that thing on and drive along. And well, the camel, can you imagine living in the desert, blinding sun coming in, blinding reflection coming up. The camel has a ball cap over each eye, but they came from the factory that way. You know what? He didn't have to go buy it somewhere else. God built them in. This guy has these shields over his eyes. And he's got these big, long eyelashes, big curtain that hangs down. So as it helps filter out the sun. As the sand is blowing, it hits the curtains and falls down so it doesn't get in his eyes. This guy's cool. He's designed to do what he does. Not only that, this guy's got this long, dense, thick, matty hair, and it insulates him from the extreme cold at night. Desert gets cold at night, and the extreme heat during the day. This guy is designed to do what he does. He's got these long, lanky legs. Hey, it's 5 minutes till 6. It's grandma's birthday. You're supposed to be at grandma's house at 6 o'clock. It's a 30-minute drive, and you don't have a gift yet. You are seriously running late. So what do? You've got mom, dad, teenage daughter, two and a half, 3-year-old son. And you go to the mall because you're gonna swing by the mall on the way to grandma's house to pick her up something as a present, you know, gift. As it always works out, you park on this end of the mall and the store you really wanna go to is on that end of the mall, you know. So here you go, you know, you're walking along. I mean, you're running late, right? So you're walking right along, you know, and next thing you know, you've got this cadence going, but you look back at that poor little old 2-year-old and his legs are just about on fire. He's running as fast as he can to keep up, you know. The longer something's legs are, the less energy they have to expend to cover a territory, given distance. This guy is designed to cover huge area with as little energy output as is needed. Not only that, he's got these wide padded feet. He's got special feet. We have a little place up in northern New Hampshire, and we really like the winter month stuff, you know. We love to go snowshoeing. It is so awesome. It is no fun traipsing through thigh-high snow. So what you do is you get these snowshoes based on your body weight, and you strap it to your boot, and then you don't sink down in the snow. So we love to just go hiking off after a freshly fallen snow where nobody's been yet. It is just beautiful and peaceful. It's just awesome. Well, imagine living in a desert with all the sand and everything everywhere. The camel has snowshoes. But in his case, they're sand shoes, and they came from the factory that way. They're built in. This guy's got this unique foot. When he puts weight down on his foot swells out to give him a bigger footprint. When the weight is on the other leg and it's coming up off of this one, his footprint contracts back in. So now he's pulling a smaller foot out of a bigger hole, so there's no drag there. It's less effort to walk through. This guy's incredible. He stores as much as 100 pounds of fat in his hump. He could go several weeks without water. A lot of times people think the water's in the hump up there. That's where the fat source is for the energy, but the water's in the tissue. That's another neat thing. These guys survive by several different means. Number one, they have a normal body temperature of 93 to 105. If your body's at 93 degrees, you better be at a hospital. You have a major problem. We know a family that had there was church service going on, or they were showing up for the church service Sunday morning, and this other fellow in the church looks at their newborn baby and said, "What's wrong with your baby? What's wrong with Mary?" And they said, "Nothing's wrong with Mary." "What do you mean?" He said, "No, something's wrong with Mary. What's wrong with your baby?" They said, "Nothing's wrong." He said, "No, something's wrong with Mary. Let's take her temperature at least. This little baby." Took her temperature. She was 92 degrees. They rushed her off pediatric ICU. She went down to 89 degrees, her body temperature. Folks, that is a major problem. That is a serious thing that's gone wrong. Hey, on the other end, if you're at 105, why are you at 105 if you have 105 temperature? Why is that? Because some invader got in there that doesn't belong there. And your body internally has called out the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Special Forces, Navy SEALs, Coast Guard. It is full-scale war going on inside your body, and they didn't even have to vote on it. This invader got here. Just kick him out of here, you know? I mean, that's awesome. Folks, that's awesome when you think about it. This guy, that's normal body temperature for him. Hey, not only that, if he needs water for the vital tissues, he draws it from other parts of his body that don't need it so much. Every year in this country, people die of heat-related injuries. If you're out there in the summertime and you're sweating or doing, you better be replacing those fluids, because if you're not, you get muscle cramps and then you get heat exhaustion and heat stroke and death. People die every year, this kind of stuff. This guy, if he needs water for the vital tissues, he draws it from other parts of his body that don't need it so much. That's pretty cool. Not only that, he loses a quarter of his body weight and then he regains it every couple of weeks and he does just fine for a lifetime. Can you imagine you weigh 200 pounds and you go to 150, 200, 150, 200, 150, 200, 150, 200, 150, 200. Every few weeks you just go back and forth, back and forth. We can't do that kind of stuff. That's incredible. Not only that, this guy drinks 25 gallons of water in 10 minutes and then he goes for several weeks without a drop of water. Folks, this guy's incredible. This guy is designed to do what it is he does. And he does it just fine, by the way. And now let's suppose for a moment, nobody on the planet has ever seen a camel. They all died out at the flood. There was Mama Camel and Daddy Camel, but on the way out the ark door, Daddy Camel tripped on his own four legs and fell and broke his neck. Mama Camel got nobody. So Mama Camel dies of loneliness a couple of years later, and she's got no babies. So nobody's ever seen a camel. They've died thousands of years ago. They've died off. And then one day, somebody out there in Arizona somewhere, maybe in Utah, maybe over in China, chipping away at the rock record, looking for a new dinosaur. Whoa! And he comes across a camel skull. Ooh, whoa. I'm going to get wealthy and rich and famous. Folks, in your mind, can you imagine the mean, fierce animal that you could develop out of a skull that looked like that? Folks, there is such an important message here. Look, it is the worldview of the people that we're looking at. That's just the head of an old camel. But yet you can see very clearly, it is man that fleshes the thing out. It's the worldview of that person. And then they're going to go and explain what it is they think they just found. And they're going to make everybody believe it. Give you a few examples. You know, in March 2000, National Geographic ran an article about this. Remember Lucy? We talked about Lucy last night. Half man, half monkey thing. Anyway, not, but I mean, that's what they say. They gave four experts the same set of Lucy bones and said, what was this? The results for radically different figures, varying in hairiness and locomotion and posture. Some had brutish, hunched over ape looking things, and some had normal people looking things. Four experts, same set of bones, four totally different conclusions. Folks, it's the worldview. You look at old textbooks or encyclopedias or evolution books, they show how Neanderthal was an old brutish hairy thing. You look at any textbook today, you could put an overcoat and a hat on this guy, you'd put him in a subway in New York, he'd look like everybody else there, you know? I mean, how can it be so radically different? Folks, how could, that's the same thing right there. It's the worldview of the people we're looking at. How about the Velociraptor? The movie Jurassic Park, 1993, came out, and the Velociraptor was a 6-foot-tall, sleek, slender, reptilian-looking thing chasing the kids through the kitchen. Well, a couple of years goes by, and the movie Dinosaur comes out, and now the Velociraptor is about a thigh-high thing running around in big packs of them. They jump and attack all in big gangs. The American Museum of Natural History, in it still today, has a feathered-covered Velociraptor, a bird-looking thing. 3 distinct, different depictions of Velociraptor. Folks, which one's right? All 3 can't be right. You ask any child that knows his dinosaur, what's a Velociraptor? They're going to explain to you the Jurassic Park kitchen scene is what they're going to say, because that's the one that makes the impression on. I'll tell you, it's the worldview of the people, and then they make everybody believe it. You know, when people look at something like this, you automatically see design. You can't get around it. You could take a knife, a fork, and a spoon and do whatever you want to them. They're not going to jump together like that, folks, unless somebody makes that thing with a purpose in mind, and then it works for that purpose that it was done. Anybody can see design to something like that. But so many of the same people that see design there will look at an animal like this and say, wow, look what evolution did to that thing. No, somebody with quite a sense of humor made that thing. And by the way, it reproduces after its own. Folks, that's pretty cool. That's awesome. You know, if there is a design, there is a designer. You cannot get around that very thing. Now think about it. Man has wanted to fly forever. If it just takes a desire or a will or a want or whatever, why can't we fly? We have to make machines to help us to fly. Now, we've made some awesome machines. We can fly faster than the speed of sound. We can fly so high and fast, we can break through the atmospheric and the gravitational pull of this planet. We can fly and go nowhere. We can just hover and go nowhere. We can fly up backwards to the left. We can fly down backwards to the right. We've made some awesome machines. But we have to make a machine. You know, if we want another one of these things, we have to spend millions of dollars. These guys, oh, they just reproduce after their own every year. This guy right here can outfly this guy right here in this room. This guy can fly around in this room. This guy cannot. Folks, to think that one had to be made and one just evolved, that's just nonsense. There's no possible way. We used to have Misha. Misha was a Russian tortoise, and you know, you look at old text or even new textbooks or dinosaur books or reptile books or whatever, they'll say how the crocodile and the alligator and the turtle and the tortoise and some frogs, they evolved millions of years ago with the dinosaurs. Wait a minute, Misha evolved? They say Misha evolved? Same people acknowledge that this turtle had to be made. Is that amazing or what? One of these had to be made and one of them evolved? Folks, that's not possible. This thing's much more complex than this one. I mean, come on. You know, evolutionists really don't know which way they're going. And it's really sad that so many people just blindly follow them. They just blindly follow them, and they don't even know where they're going. They don't even know where they've been. But folks, do you realize it is the breath of God that put us here? I mean, think about this. And God said, and it was so. 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 You know, God can just think something up and go, that's going to be fun. Let it be. And there it is. And God looks down and says, oh, that's nice. You know, as long as you're there, reproduce after your own. I want some more of you. I like that. Folks, that's power. We're talking about an awesome creator here. We're talking about a God that can just think something up and speak it into existence and then tell it how to be. Folks, that's pretty cool. That's awesome. And people treat God much too haphazardly far too often. I'm telling you, God is not real to far too many people, but He is real. Oh, He is definitely real. You know, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust what God says, even if we don't understand it, than to believe what man came up with as an alternative to explain away what God said He did.
We'll be hearing more from creation science evangelist Steve Grohman as we play for our listening audience the audio from A Creation Seminar. Listen for it next week. Also, we encourage you to log on to Steve's website at www.creationseminar.net. Make a note and check it out before our next broadcast, www.creationseminar.net.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.